See, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. You see, it's very easy to pretend like this is not an issue, or even if you don't like it, you want to avoid it. The problem is, a lot of women will create men, tell men to be nice, be kind, do all these things to make women happy. When you make women happy, that's failing a shit test 9 times out of 10. And you don't know what a shit test is? I'll tell you what a shit test is. I've talked about this before on the show. A shit test is something that, say for example, I'll give you an example. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends. Today, I think it's important that we discuss how Christians especially, and it's not limited to them, but they create simp. They create this simp-like culture, this happy wife, happy life culture. And I don't think this was better expressed than by a conversation that I actually had yesterday with an older gentleman, a Sicilian older man. He's very wise, by the way. We talked a lot about fishing. We talked about how he's a Vietnam veteran. He had great stories. But what was really stood out to me was the little things he said in between the stories he told. And one of the things he mentioned that really fueled this desire for me to talk about this on the show today is he's been married for over 50 years. And at first I was like, wow, that's awesome. That's amazing, right? But then it was really after what he said. He said, like, in between little things here and there, he would say, oh, I just do what my wife tells me. Or when I told him I thought he was wise and insightful, which he was, in my opinion, he would be like, oh, no, you know, my wife says I'm not that smart. Or, oh, you know, I just do what my wife tells me. Or he forgot, like, his anniversary or something like that. And he was like, oh, you know, don't say that too loud because then my wife's going to be like, oh, you're stupid. You don't know anything. Just exactly his exact words. And I couldn't help but sit, like, stand there and talk to myself. And I was like, this is 50 years? Like, how did you put up with this for 50 years? Like, he laughed it off like it wasn't a big deal. But I stood there and I was listening to him talk about it. I'm like, this doesn't sound healthy. This doesn't sound good. This sounds toxic. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. He seemed like a guy who was very smart, very well accomplished. He'd done a lot in his life, hardworking. But when it comes to his relationship, he seemed very henpecked and very subservient to his wife. And I thought to myself, is this just the norm for Christian men today? Because I already suspected this was the case. But no matter what I think about the men of my generation, Gen Z, millennials, etc., it's the older men, the Gen Xers, the boomers. They reinforce the stereotype every which way to Sunday. Every single time I think that maybe this will be different. Maybe I might be wrong, and I sometimes hope I am wrong. Truthfully, I do. But then it turns out, little by little, they prove exactly what we discuss on this show, why I believe in biblical bachelorism. Because we don't live in a society that supports the kind of high standard the scriptures call us to. You know, the reason why I harp on this so much is, number one, because relationships are exponentially important to every person's life. They impact you more than I'd argue anything else. And number two, because a lot of people are very disingenuous. They're very cherry-pick. They cherry-pick between what the women can do and what the men can do. And you'll see this in a minute when I bring up the clips for the show today. But I wanted to warm you up, and I wanted to give you a little background on why we're discussing this today, and why I felt a very strong desire to discuss this, because I wish I could have told this to this gentleman, but I will not name on the show. But it's so tragic to me that these men who are strong men, who I look up to and other men like me would look up to, when they talk about their relationships, they don't have the authority. Like, he has this whole big garage, a nice boat, everything. And that's kind of like his sanctuary away from his wife. And I thought to myself, why in the world would someone sign up for this? Why would someone deal with this garbage? I thought to myself, why would you do this to yourself, man? And then on top of it all, I asked him, like, what were the three biggest and, you know, important factors in your life and the three most, you know, impactful historical events? Because the guy's like 75. And he told me the most important thing in his life was his wife, even though it seemed like his wife was taking him for granted and treating him like trash. And it was shocking to me, truly shocking to me. I wish I could sit here and tell you that this is not normal, but unfortunately it is normal. And I believe the biggest reason that this happens to men is because of this right here, which I'm about to show you. So this video is about sexual relationships when it comes to Christian men and what it should look like. And we'll hear what they have to say, but I would love to hear what you have to say as well on any of the various topics we'll discuss today. So please let me know what you think. Share your opinions. I would love to hear them. I know a lot of other men would probably be very impacted to know that they're not alone and that this resonated with you as much as it did with them. Let's hear what this woman has to say.
What does healthy sexual relationship look like when you're a Christian man before marriage?
When you're a Christian man before marriage, you don't have a sexual relationship. It doesn't exist. But that's actually a good thing because I can look back at every single relationship I was in before I really started following the Lord, and I can track where it all fell apart back to the point in which I introduced a sexual relationship, to where that became a part of the relationship outside of marriage. And slowly but surely, everything began to fall apart.
Gentlemen, the reason I disagree with that so adamantly is, I'll tell you, because you lose significant amounts of leverage when that happens. That's like going in to take a test and you didn't study a lick of the test, and the other people in the class, they did, and you're trying to put yourself on the same level ground as them. Gentlemen, make no mistake about it. I don't care how many women talk about how they're virgins. I don't care how many of them talk about they're pure and this and that. They're not. They're not. Because sex is the easiest thing a woman could ever do besides eating or sleeping. It's the easiest thing they can ever do. How else do you explain that there are women on the internet who talk about how they've have like a world record of having sex with like 900 men in a day, and a dude can barely get 100 over the course of his entire life, even if he fully dedicated himself to doing it? The average number of partners a man has sexually in his life is about 7. And they want to sit here and tell you as a man that the less experience is good. No, it leaves you open to being exploited as a man. You don't learn the power of post-nut clarity. You are almost impossibly able to develop pre-nut clarity, which is an entirely different topic which we can discuss as well, which is mainly about learning. Look, we all have these feelings, especially when we're younger guys. The testosterone's going wild. We have desires. And this is where, in my opinion, Napoleon Hill's concept of sexual transmutation is incredibly useful, because it allows you to transmute this energy that could sabotage you. But then it also, you cannot deprive yourself the knowledge that comes with participating in the game to an extent. Now, I'm not telling you to go out here and do a bunch of debaucherous things. I'm not telling you to do that. What I'm saying is, when you follow the script exactly like they tell you to do in the church, you put yourself at the mercy of other men who are like you and the women who have more experience than you. And history dictates that when you give someone else power, they're going to abuse it over you. And so how are you as a man supposed to lead if you don't even know what you're leading to? You don't know what you're doing. And women don't like to be bored. Are we going to forget that for 2 seconds? We can't. Women don't like to be bored, especially when they're imprinted sexually, which is going to happen because of the sexual liberation we've been surrounded by the last, like, since the 60s, so like the last 60-something years, okay? Now, you see, gentlemen, this is why I don't preach to you, just follow everything verbatim, because people aren't doing that. And when they don't do that, and then they want to double dip in, they want to have one foot in the secular and one foot in the religious, what they do then is do you a disservice, because you're trying to do the right thing, and then you get penalized for doing the right thing, quote-unquote, the right thing. I don't like that idea of doing the right thing. To me, the right thing is what gives you the advantage and gives you the leverage to make the... I don't like the idea of morality guiding your actions. You should do something because you want to do something because you are just a giving individual. Being generous is fine. But people who do things under the guise of morality alone often make the problem worse. Or they undercut people. They disenfranchise them, which is what we see today. And to talk about undercutting men, we're going to discuss what this woman has to say in a second. And let me know, this is a very interesting take. So let's see what she has to say.
People think men
leading their wives is kind of like asserting their dominance, like being dominant. And people will be like, men get to be the leaders and do this. I truly believe that men have the short end of the stick when it comes to that. Men are supposed to love their wives the way that Christ loved the church. Do you know what Christ did for the church? He died. Like, you literally have to be willing to die for your wife and your family. Mm-hmm. All of your boyish, selfish desires, needs, wants, all of it doesn't matter. Like, it's out the window, mm-hmm. and your family comes first.
Yeah,
it's absolutely. Christ-like sacrifice. It's really, it's a lot. It's heavy.
See, but a lot of men are all too happy to do that. You ask the average dude, he's willing to do that. But here's the problem. Average man, he ain't getting a chance. You see, gentlemen, we've talked about this on the show before, and it's not just on my show. A lot of different other men's channels talk about this, but the average man is not looked at whatsoever. He's totally glanced over. When women take videos like this, or like any other video where they're giving advice to men, quote-unquote advice, they're not talking to the average guy. They are talking to the guys they are attracted to, the guys that are their preference, and the men who are at the top of the pyramid. Because this is what hypergamy dictates. And hypergamy's not bad. I don't think it's bad, personally. I think it could be used to your advantage as a man if you're willing to put in the work and if you're willing to not be beta forever and you want to actually build yourself up and become better, which is only going to suit you, by the way. But going back to what those women said, when it comes to the design for men and the design for women, what she quoted was loving, it was Ephesians when he said that you should love men, love your wives the way Christ loved the church. The other end of that coin was women submit to your husbands. You see, and it's what's funny is women are all too happy to talk about what men should do. But then when it comes to what women should do, all of a sudden they glitch and they're like, you see, you're supposed to lead, but like, I'll follow, like, I agree with you and I feel like it. No. No. You see, I myself, I don't do that. I say, look, here, you have two choices. And I recommend you do this as well. If you really want it, you have self-respect, here's what I recommend you do. Number one, you say, my way, I'm going to lead. Or two, you can leave. Because I don't know about you, gentlemen, but I can't drive a car if the person in the passenger seat's also trying to drive the same car as me. Because that car is going to go, and go off the ravine. Okay? I'm trying to steer the steering wheel, and then their arm comes in and tries to yank the steering wheel the other way because they think I'm going off the wrong exit. Do you see why that might be an issue? Do you see how that might cause some frustration, some damage to the vehicle? Well, that's what a lot of people are doing in their relationships today. This is why this whole 50-50 partners thing, that's one of the reasons why I hate, not just dislike, I hate the term partner, because partnerships in business is, I have 50%, you have 50%, and we got to work on this company together, then we have equal stock in the company. But when it comes to relationships, people want to have the so-called 50-50. No, there's one person who's going to lead, and the other person who's going to follow. Just like there's one person who's going to chase, and the other person is going to be chased. That is how power dynamics work. And if you think for 2 seconds that a relationship is not a power dynamic, you're living in a fantasy land. I'm sorry. I understand you want to live in a fantasy land where we have this partnership. No. You have your role. I have my role. Now, you can give me feedback on mine and I can give you feedback on yours, but I have my job. You have your job. And we do not do each other's jobs because that's going to cause conflict and cultivate chaos. It is going to lead to creating a toxic environment, which is what we see in almost every relationship now. Okay? Now, gentlemen, you know, there is one half of this coin, which is the wives and the girlfriends and the relationships on that end. But there's also the more untouched on side, which is the mother side of things. Okay? Now, we can easily harp on single mothers, and trust me, I've done it, and I will probably continue to do it, because single mothers are the worst at this. But they're not the only ones who do it when it comes to teaching their men to basically be son husbands. They teach the men to be exactly the opposite of what their father was, or what attracted them to their father, or what they wish they or other women were attracted to. When in fact, this is just doing men a disservice. And I would like to fair use the great coach Greg Adams for a minute when he talks about son husbands. Now, Coach Greg Adams is a great content creator. I've learned a lot from him over the years. Go give him a subscribe if you don't know who he is. He's fantastic. This is an older clip from his show. He's going to talk about the son-husband thing when it comes to mothers and how mothers kind of sabotage their sons. Let's hear what he has to say. Fair use to Coach Greg Adams.
You can get it. That's what you are. You're the run errand guy. You're the runner to the hospital guy. And this woman is 45, 50, 55, 60. This is not an old woman we're talking about. This is a woman who was fully capable of taking care of herself. She's fully capable of finding a man and submitting to that man, moving that man in and letting him take the lead. She's fully capable of finding an able-bodied man to do everything you're doing. Under the guise of what? She's got to be the submissive in the relationship, but she don't want to do it. She got the kick-ass deal. You doing her laundry, you pulling her clothes out the dryer and shit so you can put your damn clothes in. Bruh, get the hell out of here. Somebody says rubbing her feet. It's a shame. It's a shame that what we put into, this is a major issue in the community, man. It prevents you from growing as a man, 100%.
All right, thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. See, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. You see, it's very easy to pretend like this is not an issue, or even if you don't like it, you want to avoid it. The problem is, a lot of women will create men, tell men to be nice, be kind, to do all these things to make women happy. When you make women happy, that's failing a shit test 9 times out of 10. And you don't know what a shit test is? I'll tell you what a shit test is. I've talked about this before on the show. A shit test is something that, say for example, I'll give you an example, okay? Let's say you're at home, you're playing Fortnite, right? Or you're playing Apex Legends, or you're playing World of Warcraft. I don't know what you play. Well, let's say you're playing a video game, right? Your girlfriend comes back to the crib. You're doing your game. You're doing your thing. And then she's like, hey, I'm going to hop in the shower. Can you go out and get me a Coke or a Happy Meal from McDonald's, right? And you're sitting there and you're doing your thing. You're happy. You're having fun with the boys on the game. And you're like, what? Fine, sure, yeah, whatever, honey, I'll do it. And then you keep playing your game or whatever, and then she gets out the shower, she comes back, you're still playing your game, and she's like, so where's my Happy Meal? Where's my Coca-Cola? And she's like, and you're like, oh, yeah, oh, sorry, honey, I forgot, I'm playing my game. And then she flips out, and she's like, what? I told you to go get what I wanted, blah, blah, and she gets all mad and upset and everything, and you're like, whoa, okay, I'm sorry, I'll be right back, and you go grab your keys, and you go, and you hop in your car, and you drive to the store, you drive to McDonald's, you grab the stuff, you bring it back home. And then she's like, you didn't give me what I wanted when I wanted it. Now I'm upset. And now you don't get sex for 3 days. That's a shit test. And you failed. Winning the shit test would have been like, girl, didn't you just go? Weren't you just out? Why didn't you go get it when you were out and about? Why do I have to do it? I'm having my own fun. Why should I have to do that? No, you go get it. I'm not your servant. I'm your boyfriend, I'm your husband, I'm not your servant. Now, if I was already going out to the store or to McDonald's and she asked for something on my way there, different situation. But if I'm just sitting here and I'm having fun, I'm yucking it up, having a good time, and she wants to come in here and tell me to do something, that is a test, and you failed if you go for it. But this is how women condition men, and then conversely, this is how mothers condition their sons as well. Because if you're sitting there and she tells you to do something and you're like, wait a minute, I'm in the middle of doing something else. I'll do it afterward. And she gets mad or gets really passive aggressive, you know, throwing shit, slamming doors, whatever. That is a test. And a lot of men get conditioned at a young age to, oh, I want to avoid the behavior. I want to avoid her making her upset. I don't want to walk on eggshells, blah, 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 blah. And they go and they do it. That is part of the problem. And so the reason I bring that up, it's because we need to understand why we are conditioned to be simps, why we are conditioned to do these things not only with our parents, but in our marriages as well, okay? And this gentleman, this pastor right here, is going to discuss one of the biggest problems of marriages, and I'm curious to hear if you agree with him or not.
The problem with a lot of marriages isn't that they've fallen out of love. The problem is they've stopped serving each other. When you're dating, all dating is is you serving them. You're so happy to do whatever they want to do. You don't complain. You don't gripe about taking out the trash. You take out the trash with a smile on your face. What you're doing is you're serving each other. If you aren't careful, the longer you stay together, the lazier you will become. And what happens a lot in a lot of marriages, you're not getting the service that you want at home, so you start looking like, oh man, he is so cute at work. Oh man, she is so amazing at work. What you're doing is you're looking outside your marriage for something that you're not getting at home. The key to great marriages is serving each other. It's not just serving each other to get each other to sign the contract. It's continuing to serve each other throughout your marriage.
See, I agree with him. I don't know what you think. I agree with him, but here's the caveat, though. He brought up the work husband and the work wife, which has been around for a very long time and is very controversial to discuss because a lot of people, they don't want to accept that that is in fact happening and that that has in fact happened to them in the past. And gentlemen, we need to understand that men are naturally wanting to provide for their wives. Now, women who will dispute this will talk about Pookie and Ray Ray, the no good dudes, the guys who live in trap houses, the drive SRTs. They are drug dealers, they're pimps, they're whatever. They are the lower status men who are the kind of almost criminal level class of dudes, okay? They will talk about those men, which are a very small amount of men on average. In some communities, it's higher than others, but on average, they are the lower percentage, okay? So when women talk about, oh, men are doing this, men are providers, men are doing these things, no, they're talking about the men they've been with. They're not talking about men, period. Because men, period, we are more than happy to provide for women. More than happy to do things for women. Problem is, he's not Chad. He's not Tyrone. He doesn't look good. He doesn't have a six-pack. He doesn't make six figures. Maybe he's grinding. Maybe he's young and he hasn't gotten to that level yet. See, that's the problem. Okay? And so we get this idea of serving other people. The part that they often leave out is the fact that men are all too willing to do that, but it is not in women's nature to serve men. It is in women's nature to be served. You can break it down to the biology and the anatomy of the human being. Women are receivers, men are givers. Don't believe me? I encourage you to go look at the human anatomy and get back to me. That is how it works. And so when it comes to relationships, usually it is the man giving to the woman, and the woman not as much giving, reciprocating back to the man. Now, I understand I'm generalizing. I get that. But this is unfortunately all too true. Now, are you going to find exceptions where the woman's giving everything and the man ain't doing anything? Yes, you will. But also, are you going to find that a man is giving and giving and giving and giving and then the woman can't be bothered to do anything? Yes, you will also find that as well. And so when we break this down to the science, we understand that in the Christian church in general, the men create simps because the pastors tell the men this false ideology, this false antidote to the disease of feminism, which is a disease to a religious person. To me as a spiritual guy, I can adapt around this because I'm not limiting myself to one way of life. I'm not limiting myself that way. Now, if you want to limit yourself, that's your choice. But I'm not limiting myself to saying, oh, even though this is totally not feasible and not working, I'm still going to do it anyway because it's the quote, the right thing to do. No, I don't do that. No, I'm not saying I do it to the extreme opposite where I'm being completely debaucherous and out here doing crazy things. No, in fact, I'm more big on sexual transmutation more than anything else. What I will tell you is when you limit yourself, you are doing yourself a disservice because it benefits other people to put yourself in a box, put a label on yourself and accept it and move on. I'm encouraging you to not do that, to be a biblical bachelor, open your mind. You can keep some of the morality there, which is great and fine, but don't limit yourself to this box that people have made for you that is full of cherry-picking, full of half-truths, and they leave out aspects of the other end of the coin. They're more than happy to flip the coin and land on heads, but they leave out the tails portion of it. That is why I have to discuss this and why I think a lot of you also follow the channel and this resonates with you. My friends, I encourage you to do your own research on the clips we showed today on the show, the commentary I've given you. I encourage you to think for yourself and not limit yourself, as I've already discussed, because this will lead you to deciding, wait a minute, do I like this? Do I accept that? Or am I going to give myself the opportunity to adapt and make my life the most fulfilling I possibly can? Or am I going to put myself in a beta position and try to work my way out of it? Because that's going to be a lot harder. My friends, take care of yourselves. I look forward to hearing your comments and your stories in the comments. If you like the video, you know what to do. If you made it this far, you probably do. You like the show, and I appreciate you. My friends, you take care of yourselves. I'm out of here. Peace.